My wife's credit card got stolen the other day, but I haven't bothered reporting it as stolen though because the thief spends much less than my wife. It's a funny joke, and probably the only reason I find that funny is because I'm not married yet.
Hi, my name is Stephen Pemberton, and you're listening to the Sunshining Podcast.
Hi, it's me, NCR here, host of the Sunshining Podcast, with another episode of the Sunshining Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, I am so glad to have you. I would love to connect with you, and there's various different ways we can do that. You could join the Sunshining Community Facebook group on Facebook, or you can just say hi to me on Instagram at the Sunshining NCR. I'll have links to my social media in the description of this episode, like always. And me and my guests, we cover a lot in this episode, so let's just dive right into it.
So, you know, a few weeks ago, you contacted me about being a guest on my podcast. And so before that, I'd never heard of you. So I looked in your, you know, at your Instagram and I saw a post about dreams and I shared it to my story and asked my followers if you should be a guest on my podcast. And three people said yes and nobody said no. So here you are. You know, I still don't know very much about you. And also, you know, maybe there's people listening to this podcast who've never heard of you. So, you know, right quick, just could you give like a quick summary of yourself?
Yeah. So I would definitely say the most important thing to know about me is what happened to me last year in 2020. So last year in 2020 was a time where I'd been working in a corporate job for about 6 years. And I'd been doing that for the whole 6 years, working, you know, 12 to 16 hours a day. And in May of 2020, I started having really bad anxiety attacks for the first time ever in my life. And fast forward to June 9th of 2020, I'm standing in the mechanic shop. I'm the manager of this warehouse and the mechanic shop is attached to it. And I hear God speak to me and he tells me that it's time for me to quit the job. So I was scared, but I did not walk in fear because I knew what he was calling me to. So to be able to really encapsulate that entire story, I actually was called to quit a different job at the age of 19, right at 20. So I'd say 20. And at that time, my wife and I had just gotten married and my wife was about to have our son and she wanted to be at home. So we started a business so she could stay at home. I was still working a job and I quit. I felt called to quit that job. I quit, had $500 in my bank account, no skills. So really quick, we ran out of money and ended up losing everything and having to move into a basement. So the whole encapsulation of my life is basically just listening to God, walking through some really tough times, and just being able to see breakthrough on the other side.
So what do you currently do?
So currently, my wife and I, we run e-commerce. Our e-commerce is our big thing. So we have Amazon stores, we have Shopify, we have Facebook. So we do all of our business there on all e-commerce.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know much about you. And, but, you know, as I was taking notes kind of for this episode, you know, I was thinking one thing we need to talk about is money. So just a question I want to ask is, what do you think about money on this earth?
So I think that money is, it's neither good nor bad. It's just the same as, because I've heard this thing growing up. I've been in church my entire life. Both of my parents, they sent me to private school. So I've learned all about the Bible. And for some reason, especially for me, I live in Tennessee. I grew up in Tennessee. And in the South, it's this like faux pas thing to have money. And especially if you're a Christian. And to that is, it's neither good nor bad. It comes from a tree the same way maple syrup comes from a tree. But yet we dictate what we put on it. So it's the value put on it. And I personally believe that if you use it for good, you can use it as a conduit. If God is blessing you with the ability to have an abundance of money, maybe he's not using it just for you to go buy a house or cars or whatever it may be. He may be blessing you to bless somebody else to help push forward with the mission in a different sector that you've never even seen yet.
Yeah, that's real good. Then I should have had maybe a few more questions about money because it is interesting, you know, just, you know, in relation to Christianity, just the topic of money
I do think that that's this big thing, even for my family. I'm a first generation seven-figure earner in my family. My mom and my dad, they both worked 30 years in a job. So growing up, I was told, go to school, go to college, go get a good job, work there until you retire at the age of 65, or I think it's almost 70 now. But the thing is that when you, and I'm not sure where it got twisted to where being a Christian meant that you just had to have just enough to pay your bills, just enough to make sure your family's okay, just enough to make sure that you can send your kid to college. Because when you have just enough, then you're not able to actually, in my opinion, extend God's love and show it to other people. Maybe there's someone on the street corner who really needed $20, but because you're making just enough, you're not able to help them. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's an orphanage in Africa that needed new floors and windows, but because you made just enough, you weren't able to give $1,000 to them for them to actually be able to do that. And now there's people going hungry because you didn't step into your full potential. I mean, you can ask whatever you want. I'm an open book.
Yeah, yeah.
No. For anyone listening, like, that's the thing, is that seriously, even on my Instagram, you can ask me anything. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a person who I've dealt with, like, I'm no one special. I did not get a hand up, a leg up in life. I mean, I've lost everything, lived in a basement, had no money. I was just blessed enough that I had a woman fighting for me in my corner. When I believed in God, I knew of him and I believed and I had salvation. But for her, she covered me by praying over me, even when I had lost my faith. Mm-hmm. And she helped me find that corporate job that I ended up quitting, funny enough. But at the end of the day, is I heard God speak to me to quit the job in June of 2020. I quit the job. I come home. I think he's going to bless our business because we have one on the side. That business 2 months later shut down. We're $50,000 in debt now. We've got 2 months left of expenses saved up, years of this thing that I'd wrap my identity in. And then it was just this thing of crying out to our Father, our Heavenly Father, especially me. I was on the floor literally crying and saying, Abba, Father, hear your son. I made it plain for you to see it, for anyone to see what the vision is. And that very next day, or within that week, my wife actually saw something come across her newsfeed that inspired us to move into Facebook, which is where our revenue now. And that was actually able to make enough a month that we could both stay home, that all the bills were paid. 3 months, we were able to give $1,000 to help underprivileged kids have Christmas. And now I've been able to make more in 1 month than I made in my job. And we've been able to pay off the $50,000 in debt. And that's not me touting me, because I'm not that smart. That's just something that it's a God experience. So whatever is asked of me, I'm just as open as absolutely possible, because there could be one person that hears this that it could help.
In your life, you know, you live a pretty busy lifestyle, but you're also a parent. And so I just kind of want to ask, like, how does your parenting kind of schedule look like? Like, how much time do you spend, you know, with your kids? Kind of like, just what does that look like a little bit?
So I think that is a great question, just mm-hmm. because a lot of people think that there's this thing called work-life balance. I believe that's something we've all heard. But to be honest, is I've always heard on the other side that I can't wait until I retire so I can live on a beach and just go to the beach every day. But that would mean that your work-life balance is off. That means that that's all life, no work. And then if you're working every second of the day, then obviously you have no life. So that balance is still off. So what my wife and I have found is work-life integration. We have this thing where in our theater room, we also have our office space set up. And so it's my desk, my son's desk, and then my wife's desk. So we're right in the line, because we actually have the ability to homeschool our son. So he's right there with us. He does school while we're working. And then the great thing about it is we're actually able to take him to the jump park at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on random days and take him to the park or go outside and play basketball. So it's very amazing, and I've been absolutely blessed to be able to say that it's an integration thing, where it's not so much of, okay, from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock I'm working, so son, I'm going to give you from 6 o'clock after dinner till 8 o'clock, and then you're going to bed. It's more of a thing where it's like, okay, I'm working, and then I've got some free time, and he's done with school, then let's just hang out for a few minutes, and then I'll jump back into a podcast or back onto running our business.
Yeah, I love asking different of my guests that are, you know, parents now about their parenting, just because it's, you know, it really is like a spiritual thing as well. Like, you know, we have a spiritual heavenly father, you know, and so another question I want to ask too. So you just have one child right now?
Yes.
And how many, growing up, you know, did you have any siblings?
I didn't. I'm my only child.
Yeah. What was your relationship with your dad like?
So for me, my relationship with my dad was very strained, because, and it's very interesting though, because when I was first born until the age of about, I'd say almost 12 or 13, my dad and I had a close relationship. But once I hit middle school, once I hit that middle school age, all of a sudden he decided to flip the switch, and he thought he needed to be more of a authoritative person, more authoritarian. And so he and I just had this very abrupt end to our friendship. I mean, he was my best friend, I felt like. But this thing that I think is interesting growing up in the South, especially from what I've seen, is men are expected to go to work, never talk about your emotions, whatever you got going on, handle it in the dark. Don't bring it out here to everyone else. And you show love by providing. And so when I actually became a father, I thought that was what I was supposed to do, because my dad did that. And that almost ruined my wife and I, our marriage. It almost led to divorce. My son, I didn't love him the way I needed to until I came home. So, I mean, that's almost 7 years, like 6 years of me working that job. He didn't get the time that he needed, but he got provided for. And I know that there's a certain balance that you have to have too, where you do need to provide for your family, but it's different because if anyone's hearing this, and maybe you are a parent, is your kids don't just need your presence, like, you know, stuff you can buy them. They also really need your presence, you being there.
I almost feel like I should start a parenting podcast. So yeah, you know, it sounds like you know, because I know, you know, that you know, sons tend to take after their dads, kind of, some in how they parent a little bit, but you feel like you've, so how, because I think you kind of meant, you know, already answered this and mentioned kind of that you're parenting a little bit in a different way than your dad did, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, going back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, is having that work-life integration, is I'm able to spend that time with my son. I'm not always having to be at work. But even more than that, and this is something that I'm learning as well, is, you know, the same way that God gives us grace for doing dumb stuff. If anyone's hearing this and you're anything like me, I've done some real dumb stuff, and God has still shown me grace. So for my son, is that something I'm learning, is that, because my son is nuts and he does some crazy stuff. I mean, he'll probably be on the counter here in a few minutes, but it's showing him grace, you know, because he's just a kid. He's experiencing his life. He's learning his surroundings, and he's doing these things. And so I have to be able to give him the grace, but also have to give him truth and say, hey, don't do this because of, you know, X, Y, Z. This is the reason why we don't do this. And it's not this thing where when I was growing up, my parents just came down heavy, because if I did something wrong, I was getting slapped, I was getting spanked, whatever it was, to be able to make sure that I stayed in line. But that's not really showing God's love and God's grace, because he gives us grace for being sinners, right? So I have to be willing to extend that same kind of grace to my son for just, you know, breaking something.
So there's two fairly similar questions I want to ask here. How has your relationship with your dad affected your relationship with God?
So for me, I mean, especially now that I've come home, my relationship with God has grown much stronger. And I think that's something that's really cool. That is the thing that I've been asked this question on another podcast where it's like, what do you want your legacy to be? And for me, my son, he does this thing where I can try to teach him and teach him and teach him, and he won't remember it. He won't pick up on it. He'll forget it. But there's times where he'll just come to me and he'll start talking about God. Hey, Dad, you know, this happened in the Bible, and this is the story of Noah. And he said, I was talking to God, and, you know, I think I'm gonna go pray about that. And so he is learning that from me. He's mimicking me because he mimics me in everything else, the good stuff and the bad stuff. And so for me, how I've seen my relationship with God increase is just being able to see the relationship that my son has with God increase.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I might have asked the question wrong there, because I was going to ask him, how has your relationship with your dad affected your view of God? And then since becoming a parent, how has your view of God changed?
Okay. So I think that this is something that I've heard brought up in church. And your earthly father is supposed to be a reflection of the heavenly father. And at least we interpret it that way. So for me is, even unbeknownst to me, I was judging God based on my own dad. Like, my dad never said, I loved you. Like, he never said, I'm proud of you. Like, none of that. It was just he went to work. He put food on the table and a roof over my head. And so that was how he was supposed to show me he loved me. So I had this warped view of my heavenly father, thinking that, okay, he's just supposed to provide stuff for me, but he's not actually going to love me. So whenever I became a father and stepped into that, it was that same thing. Going back to the actual physical, was I took it to where I didn't actually care for my wife the way I was supposed to because of what I saw from my dad. And then spiritually, I wasn't the head of the household. I wasn't that servant leader showing love and showing grace.
Mm-hmm. A few more questions I have. I've seen a video that you did recently on Instagram about, you shared a little bit of how you said one time you felt like committing suicide. Is that right?
Well, it was something like that. Yeah. I mean, I've dealt with suicidal thoughts since the age of 8. And, you know, God has blessed me where the past few years I haven't dealt with it. But from the age of 8 years old, there was an experience that happened to me where, I mean, I don't even really know why I decided to take it to that point. But I just remember I found out that I was supposed to have had a brother. So if you're listening to this podcast earlier on, I talked about how I was the only child. But I found out I was supposed to have had a brother, and he didn't make it. So I remember one night my parents got on to me really bad. At 8 years old, I wrote a note to my mom, and I put it on her door, and I just said, I wish my brother would have lived and I would have died. And that was how that started. And I think that goes back to something I talked about earlier, was the environment I was in. I was on my emotions. I was told not to cry. I was told And so that made it where I was not able to express what was happening. And so it made it very difficult to actually deal with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is an interesting thing, you know, something that, you know, a lot of different people, I think, struggle with for various different reasons. I hear different stories and different people who, you know, they get so, I guess, depressed would want to commit suicide. Well, what are some things and thoughts you'd share to encourage someone to maybe keep living or something? Because, you know, some of my opinion, you know, is you know, God has amazing plans for us and we are special. But, you know, Satan, he wants us dead. He wants us to be depressed. But, you know, just what are some things that you would share to someone who maybe is, you know, maybe yeah, just got negative ideas about themselves.
Sure. So I would say something that's really important to just think of is just continue to show up, continue to be consistent. And I know it sounds cliche, but pray, because you may be in this dark season. I remember being in the basement and feeling like an absolute failure as not only a husband, but a father and a business owner, all of that, because all of it was gone. I didn't have a job. I didn't have money. I was working odd jobs to pay the people who we were staying with because they couldn't even afford to have us. And in that time, the thing that kept me alive, to be honest, is just the fact that I just knew that I needed to keep pushing forward. So if you're experiencing a time where you really just don't want to live anymore, this season will pass. This too will pass. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't seem like it, there's people I've known that, you know, God forbid, have gone through some really bad sexual abuse as kids, which no one should ever experience that. But what kept them alive was just knowing that it would eventually pass. And it did. And now they're out there helping people work through that. They're out there helping people get freed from sex slavery. So it's this thing where you are meant for so much more. God made you special. And I know that that's also this cliche thing we hear in church, but it's true. You have your own special purpose. And there's people that when you step into your calling, you're going to be able to help. So just don't give up, because there's someone out there that really needs you tomorrow or the next day or the next year.
That's all really good. And, you know, I think we're just done with our conversation. But is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close?
Honestly, just that last part is really the thing that I feel is laid most on my heart, is if there's someone out there that's dealing with suicidal thoughts, is tell somebody. Like, if you're dealing with a really difficult thing going on, you need to be able to talk about your emotions. You need to be able to talk about what's happening. Because for me, if I'd have just been able to have one person that I could talk to and say, hey, this is what's going on, this is why I feel this way, or I don't even understand why I feel this way, but this is what I'm feeling, I would have been more in a place that at least somebody could have helped me through that. I think the other thing to just kind of finish it up is, you know, at the end of the day, is I'm someone who's lived through that. And now not only am I being blessed, but I'm able to align with my cousin. And now we're in the process of helping over 100 underprivileged kids have Christmas. And if I had of taken my own life, there is kids that would not be getting Christmas this year, just strictly based on that. So just as you said, is the devil really wants you, doesn't want us here. Mm-hmm. He wants us off of this earth, because that means that that's people that are not going to be getting saved or not going to be getting the help they need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast, and I'm going to tag you on Instagram when I share this, and I'll include a link to your website in the description, and so that people can find out more about you. And
Like I said in the intro, me and my guest, we covered a lot in this episode. What stuck out to you? What do you want to hear more about? You can connect with me or my guest on Instagram, and like I shared, there'll be links to my social in the description. There will also be a link to my guest's social media in the description of this episode. So this episode is just about over, but I do have a few more things just to share, like the verse of the week and the song of the week. And so I guess I'll get started with the song of the week. So I decided to pick the song Stand by Newsboys. Part of the reason I picked that song is because, for one, it is a good song, and then another, I also got to see the Newsboys live and in person last night. Yes, I went to a Newsboys concert last night, and just before he sung the song Stand, he shared this phrase, and it's something I've heard before, is if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. So really good song, really good message. I encourage you to check out the song Stand by Newsboys. Besides, you know, the song of the week that I share every week on my podcast, what are some songs that you've been listening to? What are some songs you like? I'd love to hear them. Well, I guess it's time for the verse of the week. So Let me read it to you. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That was Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And I love that, you know, because, you know, we talked about money in the episode some. And money, you know, like me and my guys talked about, you know, money isn't a bad thing. It's a thing that, you know, of this world. It's something that, you know, that has value in this world, but it has no value in heaven. And you know, there's different kinds of currencies. You know, there's U.S. dollar, there's Canadian dollar, there's, you know, China, I don't know the different current, you know, there's Chinese money, Vietnamese money, you know, but the different countries have their different currencies. And then there's cryptocurrencies that have value, like Bitcoin and other things. And so it, you know, it has value on this earth, but it doesn't have value in heaven. And so, you know, another good verse that, you know, comes to mind when I think about money is just the verse that Jesus said, you know, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so, you know, and so money on this earth, you know, it has no, you know, value for eternity, but it has value right now. And so, it, you know, it can be a good thing. Like, you can use money in a bad way, but you can also use money for a good thing. So, you know, make sure, you know, as my guest shared, you know, money could be a tool you use to do good with. And so another verse that's kind of relevant to what we talked about in this episode is Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. You know, I love that. So I don't know who you are. I don't know whether you're somebody who, you know, maybe struggles with money problems or struggle, you know, with identity problems. I just want to let you know that in Christ, you are rich and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I hope you enjoy listening to this episode all the way to the end. You know, click subscribe here on YouTube. And then also you can follow and subscribe to the Sunshining Podcast wherever you get podcasts to be notified of every new episode that comes out.